It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast Part 2, as they say on Naked Gun, I think. Part 2, the show that's so nice, we do it twice for you every week. We try to break it up so it's not an hour and 45 minutes or whatever. Try to break it up into two fairly evenly balanced podcasts, both of which tell you about BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. The promo code PODCAST1. If you like to put a little something-something on games, make sure you do it at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 so you get that 50% welcome bonus. Speaking of welcome, Evan, we'd like to welcome everybody that's getting ready for their fantasy playoffs, which will be here before you know it. This is where you separate yourself. And Evan Silva, at Evan Silva on Twitter, is the separator. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram. I chime in, try to provide some value when I see it, when I think I have it, when I'm pretty confident that I'm going to be able to help you guys out with a player that maybe other people might not be as familiar with or some insight. Doug Baldwin, Dan Arnold, Dallas Goedert, just some of the calls I've had over the years. Trey Burton, trying to help you guys out. By the way, trying to help you guys out, I'll give you one other way to help yourself out. If you are starting to lose your hair at all, even a little bit, you've got to go to Keeps right now. Unfortunately, I've got a lot of experience with this. And the reality is, none of these things can actually regrow your hair. I mean, I guess in some percentage of people, they regrow some. But the reality is, they do a real good job of keeping what you have. That's why the company is called Keeps. I love them. I'm a subscriber. I'm a customer. Because I was already taking the pill every morning. I was already putting the topical solution on the top of my head and rubbing it in the morning and at night, because those are the only two FDA-approved hair loss products, which means they've done the testing. Yes, there is benefit. Yes, they're approved. Yes, they work. And yes, you guys can get them sent to your house for cheaper than it would be at the store. No doctors involved other than the online doctors. After you fill out your information, take a couple pictures of your head. Boom. If you qualify, they send it to you and you will love it. And you can even try it for free. Go to keeps.com/feast. That's KEEPS.com/feast. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/feast. Keeps. Hair today, hair tomorrow.
Next meal.
All right, Evan, let's start with Kansas City. The Chiefs back in action after a bye in Oakland to take on the slow-as-molasses Raiders defense.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs are in the best possible position. You know, the only guy to talk about and maybe be like, is he, you know, he's like on the fringe, is Sammy Watkins. He barely played in that game against the Rams. Of course, he started. But he barely played, and he should be healthy coming off the bye. Let's look at his practice participation. If he gets in, let's say, two full practices, we start him against the Raiders. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, this is the best possible matchup for all of them. On the other side, you know, you're facing this Chiefs defense that has the massive splits home and away in terms of points allowed, and you're still struggling to be like, you know, well, who are we gonna start this week? You know, maybe Jared Cook, Derek Carr, maybe in a two quarterback league, Jordy Nelson, like zero catches last week, Seth Roberts. I don't know, man. I don't know. I say we move on to the next one.
Wow. All right. Jets, Titans, both teams very disappointing. Although, you know what? It's weird. Mariota actually played pretty well, but the Titans still lost by a lot.
Yeah, very weird. Very weird. I like the Titans defense this week. This is another one where it's like, I don't know. Are we going to get Darnold?
We don't know.
We don't know. Jets. They've been using 2-3 running backs every week. You know, all the receivers are hurt. I mean, yeah, they're playing, but they're hurt. Herndon, Titans are like one of the best teams in the NFL against tight ends. Herndon is coming off a 7-catch game, Chris Herndon. I think I would play that tier of streamer tight ends that we talked about on the first show. I play all those guys over Chris Herndon. Man, this is an ugly one too. I mean, with the Chiefs Raiders, at least it was like straightforward, you know. But with this one, you're struggling. Deion Lewis. I mean, Deion Lewis should be able to get it going against the Jets. Jets have been real bad against the run, and Deion Lewis, of course, has that passing game value. Derrick Henry, you know the deal with him. Every single week, he's got to score a touchdown, or else he's doing nothing for you, and he usually does not score a touchdown. Really, this should be a Derrick Henry game, in theory. I mean, we don't know who's playing quarterback for the Jets, but Derrick Henry, I mean, this should be a game where where it doesn't matter, and the Titans play this game with a lead. Their defense does well against a just completely broken Jets offense that has just lost everyone, can't pass protect, you know, doesn't really have a running game. And Derrick Henry should be able to, and the Titans should be in control. But, you know, there have been a decent number of those this year, and Derrick Henry does not always deliver. Corey Davis should eat. When Marcus Mariota has been healthy, Corey Davis has had big games. You know, at least he's mixed in big games. And Marcus Mariota gave us the impression that he was healthy on Monday night. I think that Marcus Mariota is an all right streamer, you know, not great, certainly not a bad one, but, you know, playable. And then at the tight end position, the Jets have given up very little to that position all season. They've got good safeties, but Jonnu Smith is the guy who's going to be out there a lot. But it is concerning that Anthony Firkser has started to play more. Anthony Firkser stood out in the preseason, caught a ton of passes in the preseason, and you know, pretty good athlete, smart dude out of Harvard. And I think that, you know, there is every reason for them to continue to use him in two tight end sets, and that's a little bit of a concern for Jonnu Smith. But that takes care of this game. Let's move on to the next one. Hopefully, it's a better one.
It is. It's the Vikings and the Patriots, the 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time featured game. What do you got on that one?
Okay, we could do some actual analysis. So what are we going to do? What are the Patriots going to do this week? I think we are not going to see them smash Sony Michel into the Vikings defensive line over and over again. I think that we are going to see a quick pass, short pass offense this week against the Vikings. You look at this Vikings front when it is healthy, and it is right now. Sheldon Richardson, Linval Joseph, Daniel Hunter, Everson Griffin. I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And I think that the Patriots are going to obviously realize that. And not only are the Vikings good against the run, but they have a great pass rush, and they can win with their front four. They don't blitz. I mean, they do not blitz. And Mike Zimmer historically has been, you know, seen as a very aggressive defensive coordinator. But there's no reason for them to blitz. No reason for them to blitz. And they still get home. They still cause a lot of problems. So the best way for the Patriots to navigate around that is to throw the ball, you know, 40-plus times, maybe 38 to 46, somewhere in that range. A lot of quick passes, a lot of Julian Edelman against Mackenzie Alexander, you know, a lot of Gronk against, you know, in the quick game against the Vikings safeties, you know, a lot of and against, you know, the linebacker core that has been chewed up by injury a little bit. A lot of James White this week, and not necessarily as much of a Sony Michel game. I still think you could play Sony Michel. You know, I still think he's going to get 12 to 16 touches, but I don't think it's going to be one of these games where they try to feed him over and over again. And there have been a number of those. Last week was one of those. And look, he could still get goal line carries, so you could play him. But I think that you have a little bit more higher level of confidence in James White this week than you might have over the past few weeks. Rex Burkhead is eligible for Week 13 return. No idea if he's going to play, but I do think he's worth putting on the end of your bench in case something happens. Things can happen quickly. Sony Michel got hurt last week, you know, and he did come back, and I think he's going to be fine for this week. But it's just a reminder that, you know, that these things can change very, very quickly. And hey, something happens to James White or Sony Michel this week, and all of a sudden, for Week 14, Rex Burkhead is in position to get 11 to 13 touches in Week 14. Another big concern and reason to believe that the Patriots might go a little bit more pass heavy in this game is because Xavier Rhodes does not look like he's going to play. Zimmer came out and said that the injury was very, very mild, but you know that's not a timetable. That's just him saying that, hey, you know, we don't think he's going to miss a significant amount of time. But Dr. Chow doesn't think that Xavier Rhodes is going to play this week. And, hey, he pulled his hamstring and didn't return. And that typically lends itself to the player not playing. So that if there's no Xavier Rhodes, I mean, that helps Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is in the buy low air yards model this week. He caught all five of his targets last week for 70 yards. He has 70-plus yards and or a touchdown in five of his last six games. He's a wide receiver, too, against the Vikings. Other side, Kirk Cousins, he balled out, I mean, against Green Bay. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but, I mean, he played, you know, they did not have a running game in that game, and they were facing Aaron Rodgers, and he outplayed Aaron Rodgers. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, both awesome plays. Stephon Gilmore has been lights out with the exception of the one game against Corey Davis. So it's not a gimme matchup for Stephon Diggs, but he does run in the slot 25 to 33% of the time, depending on the game. And Stephon Gilmore typically doesn't go in the slot, although he did quite a bit against Corey Davis in the aforementioned game. But Stephon Diggs, double-digit targets in seven of his last eight games. I mean, Kirk just feeds these wide receivers. I mean, they get so many targets, and it's awesome. That helps them stay matchup-proof. And Stephon Diggs, such a good route runner. I think he's going to be able to get open a number of times against Stephon Gilmore. Adam Thielen in the slot most of the time, so he is going to avoid Stephon Gilmore. Slot receivers have had a lot of success against the Patriots. It was Jermaine Kearse last week, 6 for 66 and a touchdown. Adam Thielen, of course, a lot better than him. Adam Thielen, 100-plus yards and or a touchdown in 10 of 11 games this year. Kyle Rudolph benefited from a little bit more coverage assigned to the wide receivers by Green Bay last week. The Vikings, you know, talked about this. They were going to use him a little bit more. Kyle Rudolph had 7 catches in the first half. You know, I'm not so sure that that's going to continue, but it is a positive sign going forward. I think just throwing, they have not been throwing the ball to him very much. He's in that streamer mix as well. We can move on to the next one.
Okay, we got San Francisco against Seattle.
I noticed that Seahawks defense was available in a bunch of my leagues. I'm trying to get them, just trying to get them everywhere. I think that they're an awesome play. Nick Mullins keeps getting worse. This is what happened to C.J. Beathard, too. You know, they can come in and they can have the short-term success, and they can be products of the system for a little while, and, you know, it's going to start to, you know, it's going to start to wear off, and that's what's happening. I mean, Kyle Shanahan wouldn't even commit to Nick Mullins as his starting quarterback until, you know, until Monday. and or at least following last week's game, he was non-committal. And, you know, having watched both of the last two games, I mean, I was surprised actually in the last one that C.J. Beathard didn't come in. I mean, Nick Mullins is skittish in the pocket, and he's not accurate, and their passing game was non-existent in this last game until, like, garbage time, you know, with the exception of Dante Pettis. And Dante Pettis' playability in fantasy is going to come down to an injury to Pierre Garçon, who was out last week, and the personal issue for Marquise Goodwin, which kept him out last week. George Kittle didn't do anything until it was shutdown time and, you know, in garbage time. That, you know, stunk for Nick Mullins, or that stunk for George Kittle. He did wind up with 6 catches for 48 yards, so he definitely wasn't terrible. And I think he's going to be fine against Seattle, but that's what happened in that game. Matt Breida lit it up, but, man, I still worry about his health. I mean, he looks like he's – this past game he had 140 total yards, and he has over 130 total yards in back-to-back games, but – There were plays like where he limped off or he checked out. At one point, he threw his helmet because it looked like he aggravated the ankle injury. He looks like he's running with a gait or a hitch in his gait at some points. Seattle has gotten throttled by the run recently, so I think that Matt Breida is an RB2, but I'll be interested to see his practice participation this week. The dude is an absolute warrior, one of the toughest players in the NFL. Jeffrey Wilson was the number 2 running back over Alfred Morris last week, undrafted out of North Texas, had, I think, 8 touches, looked okay, but Matt Breida remains the feature back. But in deeper leagues, I would recommend grabbing Jeffrey Wilson for the stretch run. Russell Wilson should eat. Chris Carson, the clear number 1 in Seattle. Rashad Penny and Mike Davis both had 4 touches last week. Chris Carson had 20. Facing San Francisco, no Reuben Foster. Big home favorite, Seattle's favorite by 10. Great spot for Chris Carson and the Seahawks defense. David Moore, we talked about how he was getting targets and air yards and how, you know, variance was eventually going to flip in his favor. Dude balled out last week. I mean, over 100 yards, beating up on Corn Elder, beating up on James Bradbury. I mean, he ran one route. James Bradbury fell down for like a 50-yard gain. And David Moore, really, really talented dude, has been inconsistent in the box score. And he's still like a wide receiver 3/4, but definitely not a bad play. Tyler Lockett, awesome player. 49ers have been getting crushed in the slot. Every week he's around 45 to 55% of his routes in the slot. So I think that he is a strong play against San Francisco. Doug Baldwin, 17 targets the last 2 weeks. Results have not been there, but he's got 5-plus catches in 3 straight games. You know, it was a while back that we – kind of understood he was going to be, not what we hoped that he would be in, you know, early August. He's still a PPR option as a wide receiver 3. Nick Vinette, Ed Dixon sharing time at tight end. We can move on to the next one.
Next game, Sunday Night Football. I will be in the booth for that one, for Westwood One. Looking forward to it. Should be a pretty good fantasy night, too. The Chargers at the Steelers.
Yeah, so Chargers have a pretty good defense, but Steelers have a better offense when they're at home. We have seen them have very uneven performances, although pretty much all the guys have gotten the job done from a fantasy standpoint. But we've seen them have very uneven performances in consecutive road games. They're going back home this week. I think they light it up. I think Ben lights it up. I think Antonio gets right after Broncos really sold out to stop him. Last week, he still had 9 catches and 13 targets, but I mean, he was the guy that they that the Broncos wanted to take away. They did that to Tyreek Hill earlier in the season, and it kind of worked. The Broncos were competitive in that one. They won on Sunday. So, you know, kudos to them. They've strung together some victories. One interesting note from last week: the Steelers moved Ryan Switzer into the slot, and he was a full-time player for the first time all year. Now, his playing time had been on an upward trajectory, but he had not reached the position where he was a full-time player until last week. He got 8 targets. Now, Ben threw it a million times, so that's going to skew the number of targets, period. But he was out there as a full-time player. I wonder if that was – and you know what happened as a result of that is Juju Smith-Schuster played 70% of his snaps on the outside. I wonder if that was game plan oriented against Chris Harris, because it's real clear, you know, everyone knows the Broncos' outside cornerbacks are who you go after, you know, and you try to avoid Chris Harris. Now, Chris Harris wound up chasing around Antonio Brown a bunch in the game anyway. But I wonder if that was a game plan specific situation. But it does put Ryan Switzer in the mix as like a single game DFS option. Switzer, as a slot receiver, has, you know, decent volume potential against the Chargers. He's a wide receiver 4, and he's PPR specific. But Juju Smith-Schuster playing outside also last week, you know, I think that might lessen the chance that we see lessen the chances that we see Casey Hayward run around with Antonio Brown. But the other outside cornerback for the Chargers is a dude by the name of Michael Davis, second year out of BYU. I mean, that's a guy that the Steelers are going to go after. You know, like there is no doubt about it. And he hasn't been terrible for the Chargers, but that's the guy that the Steelers are going to go after in this game. And, you know, I don't know. Does it make more sense for the Chargers to use Casey Hayward directly on one guy or just leave him on one side and, you know, always have help to that other side? I don't know. But I think that that's how the game is going to go. And at the end of the day, you just start Juju and you start Antonio Brown. You think about Ryan Switzer if you're in a deep PPR league. Vance McDonald got banged up last week. I think he's going to play this week. But I would keep an eye on the practice reports. If he doesn't play, Jesse James enters the streamer conversation. Chargers' weakness on defense is not versus the pass, though. It's versus the run. And you know, we have seen James Conner recently get into some situations where it just was not, you know, amenable to big-time fantasy production. You know, and it was in Week 10, he suffered a concussion. He scored a touchdown, and he was playing pretty well against Carolina, and then he suffered a concussion. And then the next week, the Steelers fell behind big to the Jags. And, you know, that's never going to work out for a running back, you know, or very rarely going to work out for a running back. Last week, they threw a million passes against Denver. And James Conner, he caught 4 balls and he finished with 17 touches. But, you know, it was not one of his better games from a production standpoint. This can be. The Steelers are favored by, I believe, 3.5. They are at home. The Chargers have lost Kaiser White, Denzel Perryman, and Corey Legit, 3 of their best interior players, 2 starting linebackers and a starting defensive tackle to injury. So I think that James Conner can absolutely get back on track in this game. On the other side, this is a tough one for me on Phillip Rivers because he has been playing at such a high level, but the Steelers, man, they can really rush the passer. And Phillip Rivers has taken 7 sacks in the last 2 games. His pass protection has not been as good as it has been all year. And the Steelers' pass rush has been on fire. And, Phillip Rivers has not been an upside play this season. So I would be looking at options other than Phillip Rivers this week. I think, if you end up just, settling on Phillip Rivers, that's fine. This game has a big total, and both teams can score. But I'm a little concerned about Phillip Rivers just not being an upside play against the Steelers. Really hasn't been one all season. Keenan Allen has the best matchup in the Chargers receiver core. He's going to be 50-50 outside and in the slot. That's how they've been using him pretty much all season. Steelers have a good slot corner in Mike Hilton, but he's small. He's real small, and they play a lot of zone on the inside. So he's not always matching up with dudes in man coverage, and Keenan Allen can get caught running routes essentially against linebackers and safeties. And Keenan Allen has been on a roll recently with 100-plus yards and or a touchdown in four straight games. He was that squeaky wheel when they were in London, and ever since then he has been a dominant fantasy performer. And I expect him to keep that up against Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. Mike Williams scored a couple of touchdowns last week. That's what he's going to do. I think, he never gets yards, never gets big targets. So he's a very touchdown-dependent player. Tyrell Williams played 9 snaps last week, ran 7 routes. Dealing with a quad injury, Travis Benjamin wound up jumping into that third receiver role, and on the single-game DFS slates, people like to play him for the primetime games. I think that Travis Benjamin is kind of sneaky against Pittsburgh. He's got big playability. Tight ends, Antonio Gates, Virgil Green, they have both ran around 15 routes per game over the last 2 weeks. Antonio Gates had the one big game against Arizona, but he was a no-show last week. Just can't do anything with those guys. Fun guy to talk about is Austin Ekeler because, it's real unlikely that Melvin Gordon plays. MCL sprain.
He's not playing. He's got a grade 2. He's out for probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. So Austin Ekeler going to be the feature back. Comes off the bench last week, 10 catches. That is money in the bank. Justin Jackson did run pretty well in his first extended look, and I think that he's going to get some carries in this game, maybe a few catches. He's an all-purpose dude. For sure, but he's another small dude. He's 199 pounds. Austin Ekeler is, 195. And he's a little more compact. Like Justin Jackson is a little bit taller. Austin Ekeler is an RB2 with RB1 upside against Pittsburgh. I think he's going to catch a ton of balls in this game, and he's got that big playability. If you've been stashing him, great job. You want him in your starting lineup. Again, this is a projected high scoring game. The total is well over 50. I believe it's 52 or 53. And Austin Ekeler is going to be out there a lot. Justin Jackson, I think, will be the change of pace dude. That takes care of that game.
Monday Night Football, I will also be there. That time I'll be on the sideline. I'm doing both games in the great Keystone State on Sunday and Monday. After, by the way, Evan, being on sideline for SEC Championship on Saturday. I got a heck of a weekend coming up. SEC Championship for those Alabama and Georgia freak shows before I fly to Pittsburgh, do that game in the booth, and then drive from Pittsburgh home for a little bit and then to Philly. It's the Redskins and the Eagles, and the Eagles really leaned on Josh Adams and really ran the ball pretty effectively against the Giants in the second half of that game on Sunday, but the Redskins have a better front.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast of a weekend, by the way. Stay warm. Josh Adams, he's in a great position, though. The Eagles are home favorites here. He's to the point where we can count on him for 20 touches. You know, I was big on picking him up several weeks ago, but I never even necessarily thought he would get to this point where he's got a legit shot at 20-plus touches, and he's locked into goal line, you know, and they do use him a little bit in the passing game. The Redskins do have a better front, but they also have not been, you know, shutting down running games lately by any means. And I think that the matchup is not worrisome for Josh Adams. He got off to a really one thing you kind of like is that he got off to a really slow start last week, and then he wound up with a really good game. I mean, he got hurt playing special teams early in the game. He had, two carries for negative 2 yards at one point. I think he was even worse than that. 7 carries for 17 yards at one point. And he wound up with, 16 fantasy points. And he had the long touchdown call back, a 52-yard touchdown call back. So he had so many factors working against him last week, and he still delivered. So think about what could happen if, hey, he has a game where things go right for him. You know, he could blow it up. So I'm excited about Josh Adams. I have him in a number of spots, and I will be using him wherever it makes sense, which is probably going to be on most of the teams where I have him. He's an excellent, excellent fantasy play in this game. I think that the Eagles can have a lot of success as a team in this game. And look, they have been very, very disappointing all season. But I just, the Redskins, their pass rush has kind of faded away. You know, they're kind of just fading away as a team. I mean, they suffered a lot of injuries. You know, they're going to be under a lot of scrutiny all week. They're going to struggle, I think, in Philadelphia. And I think that Carson Wentz, Alshon, certainly Zach Ertz, certainly Josh Adams, all these guys are pretty good fantasy plays. Golden Tate, since they acquired him, he's been a negative to the offense. I mean, you're taking snaps and usage away from Dallas Goedert. Alshon's targets are way down. And Golden Tate, you know, the Redskins have been really good against slot receivers all season long. I mean, Cole Beasley was nowhere to be found on Thanksgiving. You know, and that's been a trend all season long. So Golden Tate would be the guy that I would probably not play against the Redskins. The argument for him would be that the Eagles, you know, they really have struggled since making that deal, and they're kind of incentivized to, especially in front of the home crowd, to make Golden Tate work. But I think that would be maybe to the detriment of the team. So far, Golden Tate trying to shoot him targets has been to the detriment of the team. He's got 97 scoreless yards on 20 targets. You may as well just give the ball to a running back, and he's going to be, you know, just as effective. And you're not going to have, you know, as many incompletions, and, you know, you're not going to all that kind of stuff. And you're not going to risk having interceptions on handoffs. So, and on the other side, Colt McCoy, I mean, look, he played all right against Dallas. He threw, 3 picks. And he's going to be more aggressive than Alex Smith. You know, that I think that that's for sure. He's not necessarily a better talent than Alex Smith, but he is, you know, he's going to take more chances. I mean, no one takes as few chances as Alex Smith. So Colt McCoy, that bodes well for Josh Doctson, who had, 10 targets, his first game above 50 yards all year against Dallas. And that was not in a good matchup. This is a much better matchup against Philadelphia. I think that Josh Doctson is a low key kind of awesome wide receiver 3 play against Philly. Jordan Reed, he's been great with Colt McCoy at quarterback, and you keep rolling him. Vernon Davis had the touchdown bomb, but, you know, of course he's not running many routes. He's, you know, he goes catchless all the time. I mean, he's catchless in 3 of his last 6 games. So he would be below that tier of streamers that we discussed on the first show. Don't know if Jamison Crowder is going to be back. Trey Quinn, he was great, you know, as a Thanksgiving play, and he would be in line for a great matchup, but we're not going to know probably on Jamison Crowder. I mean, we didn't even know about Jamison Crowder until right before game time on Thanksgiving. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what to say about that situation. In the backfield, it's not really a run defense issue. It's an issue of being on the road as an underdog against the Eagles, who are likely to have offensive success, who are likely to have a lead. You know, Chris Thompson might finally come back. Adrian Peterson is a guy that I'd be looking to avoid. I'd rather play Josh Adams than Adrian Peterson this week. Sounds weird, but you know, that's where we are. Good luck to everyone in week 13.
Evan, you are a Greek god or something like that. You're at least very, very good with your fantasy insight. I wonder, we should talk about this off the air some. I wonder how much, obviously you know so much about these guys and all the information you put in. I actually had somebody email. I got to read this email at some point, Evan. Somebody emailed, he's number one right now in the Westgate Super Contest. That Steve Fezzik from the Even Money podcast is the only two-time winner of. And he says he actually gets tremendous value for his betting, listening to you on the feast. And you talk about the weather and game flow and how you expect the game to go. And that's why his bets have been so good this year. I don't know if that's the case, why my bets haven't been good over at betonline.ag, the ones I give you on the Even Money podcast. If you want to place a bet, that's the place to do it. We got conference championship games coming up this weekend out the wazoo. Obviously, there's always NBA and college hoops and NHL and everything. And then there's some real good NFL games to bet on. You can bet on Cowboys Saints tonight, Chargers and Steelers Sunday, Monday night, Eagles Redskins. I'll be at a lot of those games. Again, the way to do it, though, the place to do it is betonline.ag. And the code is podcast1. So you get a 50% welcome bonus when you sign up, right? So you deposit $500 or $100, they give you a 50% bonus. They throw an extra $50 in there, or an extra $250, depending on what you put in. Kind of nice. Kind of nice to start ahead of the game, if you will. It's also kind of nice, those of you that listen to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, because as great as Evan is, Greg Cosell is right up there with him, and he's on every Thursday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. So if you only check out one episode of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, that would be a good one every Thursday to get Greg Cosell's insight as well, because he talks players, he talks matchups, he talks game flow, coaches, scripts as well. He is excellent as well. I know, Evan, you feel the same way. That'll do it, by the way, for part two here of the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast. Can't tell you how much we appreciate Apple Podcast rating and reviews from you guys. That means everything. In fact, if you do that, if you rate and review the show, send me an email, ross@rostucker.com, if you have a specific question about Evan, and I will read and respond to it on there. I'll read it, and Evan will reply to it on the air here on the show. Other than that, I'm stuffed, totally full now. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.